How are you guys doing today? It's true. I don't feel great. I wouldn't have said it. He's right. That's all accurate. But it's a pleasure to be with you guys here today. This is an exciting morning. We have been, in 2018, we've been celebrating. It's just what we do. Every Sunday we celebrate something. And so today we're celebrating baptisms. And my friends that know that I'm sick today are nervous about this dynamic, this off-the-stage dynamic this way or the in-the-stage dynamic this way. So I'm planning on not falling, for whatever it's worth. That's my goal. But it's good to have you guys here with us today. We are in particular focusing on just the blessing and the awesomeness of seven individuals having placed their faith in Christ. Yeah, indeed. Holla? It used to be whoops. I understand that, but I don't know when that changed. At some point it changed. But it is a privilege to be here and to celebrate with them and see what God's doing. Clearly he's doing something. And so scripture commands us to get baptized if we place our faith in Christ. And so these seven individuals are doing that today. We're doing it a little bit different than we have in past Sundays. Normally we have people just get baptized at whatever service they attend. But today we asked those seven individuals, can you come to as many services as possible, share your story so more of the church can hear it. So you're going to hear five stories today and see some of them, most of them get baptized. We'll find out. We will see. Let's pray. Let's do that next. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the morning. Thank you, God, for your truth. Thank you that your word has been preserved all this time, Lord, and you give us the opportunity to learn more about you every single day. And it's such a privilege, Lord, and I don't think there's anything better in this life than being in relationship with you. Would you move us closer to you today, Lord? Would you help us to understand your words? And would you speak through me, God, graciously? Would you do that? In your name, amen. There's a story from the earliest days of the church recorded in the book of Acts. The story is about a time when Peter stood up among the disciples. There are not very many of them at the time, but he was in front of this massive crowd. A bunch of people gathered in town, and they were in town because of the Feast of Pentecost, about 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits. And so there was a large crowd. It wasn't just Peter. It was just they happened to be there. But the Holy Spirit was really manifest in this moment. He was present. It was present. My theology instructor is coming back into my head right now. I don't know what to say about that. The Holy Spirit was present. And there were a number of power dynamics at play that we don't normally see. There was a lot of sound. There was fire. There were disciples that were praising God in multiple languages, and the people that were there that had other languages other than what the Jews typically spoke were hearing God's praises in their own language, and so it was attracting this massive crowd to Peter. And so he got up, and he spoke about Jesus, and he told them about Jesus. Now, this is 50 days after they just crucified Jesus, so it's a bit of a controversial message. He's going to speak about how awesome this dude is whom they just crucified. So Peter's putting it out on the line there, because he believed wholeheartedly in what he was saying. And he shared about four proofs that Jesus is the Messiah. And I don't have time to share any of those with you, but he did share those. He quoted the prophet Joel, who's a much older dude than me, but still a great first name, in my opinion. Thanks, Mom. It took me like 20 years to come to that opinion, but I'm there now. It's been good. Verse 21 in Acts 2, I don't have a slide for this, because I like to keep things, you know, on your toes out there. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is a messianic phrase. They would have known that Peter was linking this to the Old Testament and saying, hey, the fulfillment of all these things is coming to pass now. This is the real deal. This is happening. And the power of the Holy Spirit manifesting in that moment was making it evident that God was saying, yes, I'm behind this. This is true. The Israelites had struggled always with a pattern of faith in the Lord and apostasy, and they would move back to faith and apostasy again, and they just had this back and forth pattern, and this particular generation just crucified Jesus. So Peter knows he's got a captive audience in the sense of people who have not decided that Jesus is the person they want to follow. This is a crowd that is very much undecided, but they're interested, actually a mix of interest and scoffing, and Peter steps into that, and pick up the tail end of the story in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom he crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. His promises to you, to your children, to those who are far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Big day for the church. It's a big day for us too, because I think the ripple effects of that day have spread out to this day. I don't think these seven individuals getting baptized, that have gotten baptized today, would be here, would have the stories that they having, if God wasn't at work, if God wasn't doing something amazing and hadn't been starting it way back then, and actually way, way before that. So the ripple effects have crossed 2,000 years, thousands of miles to this day and this moment. I want to focus on one particular word. I have time for one word in this particular story, and the word is repent. I'm not a hellfire and brimstone kind of guy. I don't ever see that happening in my life, but this is kind of one of those words. But I'm focusing on it this week because I've been thinking about it a lot this week. I have always understood repent to mean to turn. How many of you guys have heard that? To turn away from your sins. You're walking, it's a bad path. Maybe it's toward the baptismal, and you turn 180 degrees away. That's repentance. But I came across an author this week who said, that's not what it means. It means this. I have a slide for this. It's from the Greek word metanoia, or metanoia, blah. That Greek word, those two. I was an engineer before all this, before God called me. Navier-Stokes equations, I can pronounce that. I even know how that works. Partial differentials, vertices. I got Jay, he and I, we have our math instructions every once in a while, but I can't pronounce Greek words. The word means a new knowledge or understanding, a change of mind. New knowledge or understanding or a change of mind, change of heart. You think about something differently. And then, because you think about something differently, you change how you live. So it's not like that old definition was all that bad. It just was a little bit secondary to the idea of changing your mind in the first place. And what I want to do today, this morning, is for those of you who are not getting baptized, which is most of you, this idea of repentance isn't limited to just a moment of salvation. It's not the only place it's supposed to be. We are supposed to be in continual walk and growth with our Savior. And he's calling us to repent, to change our minds, to continually change our minds and change our thinking. What are the new things that he wants us to see today? What are the new ways he wants us to understand him, see him, experience him? Peter later says in another one of his letters, 1 Peter 1, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's by his great mercy that we've been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation. We live. Baptism is about living and dying. It's about living and dying. There's a physical symbolism to it. Everybody's going to be fine today, by the way. It's going to be fine. There's a physical symbolism, though, and you go into the water, and that symbolizes the grave, and then coming out symbolizes new life in Christ. And that is made possible and is necessary because none of us are good enough to have a relationship with God on our own. Not one of us. And because of that truth, we needed a mediator, and God sent one. He sent one that's loved us dearly since the earliest of days. And he came, and Jesus lived a perfect life on this world, and was crucified 50 days before this event, and he rose from the dead so that our sins would be forgiven in his death, and we would be caught up in victory with him in the resurrection and share eternal life with him. And that is the central message of the gospel. Every time we get a chance to see baptisms, it's an opportunity to be reminded of this really, really precious gift that God has given us. But this call to repent, this call to change our thinking, is not just one that happens once in our past. It's one that we need to continue to be on. To continue to be thinking about. And we can do that as individuals, and we can do that as a community. I came across this quote earlier this week that I really liked. I've been thinking a lot about racism this year, longer than that. But really this year, it's too complicated to walk through all the circumstances for why that's the case, but I've been thinking about it a lot. And I really like this quote. This is from a guy who died in the 80s, but was just a tremendous influence on a lot of people. He said, we're not going to move this world by criticism of it, nor conformity to it, but by the combustion within it of lives ignited by the Spirit of God. We're not going to We're not going to improve the world just by criticizing other people. We need to be the people that are the change in the world. And God makes that possible because he gifts us with his Holy Spirit. He lives through us, and we live. So baptism really is about living. It's not just about life. It's about living. It's about a new life. I want to think about this idea of repentance in the sense of changing our minds. I'm white. Who noticed? Yeah, one of you. I know, it's not a fair question. It's Black History Month, and I have been trying to figure out how do I personally engage this, and then as a community, how do we engage this? We spent, a couple weeks ago, our staff team went to Detroit to hang out with our other staff team at our church at Wayne State. We went to the Wright Museum of African American History, spent the day there. It was awesome, humbling, lots of learning going on. And I think we have just a tremendous opportunity to be learners, those of us whose skin is like mine. And those of you who have darker skin, you have the opportunity to celebrate, just to celebrate a rich, tremendous culture that God has given you and blessed you with that I'm just beginning to understand. And as a community, I think we have the idea, we have the opportunity to each of us take a next step. I have this like mind-bogglingly sophisticated next slide here. Take a step, Black History Month. I would suggest you do it together with a friend or more than one friend. This is something that needs to be dialogue. It needs to be conversation. It needs to be, hey, these are the things I'm learning. What are you learning? What are you seeing? What are you seeing in our world? What are you seeing in my life? And I think God may be calling each of us to take a step. And this idea of repentance, this idea of becoming more like him, we can put these things together in this. What is that step? For some of you, it might be picking up a book for the first time, trying to get some perspective, watching that movie, you've been thinking, I should watch that. I've heard it's really good. I haven't watched that yet. Something that would move you and your perspective forward. Some of you, God wants you to do something. Maybe it's engage a relationship you've been scared to engage. Maybe it's stepping across the threshold of discomfort to get to a place where you can move further in the world. Maybe it's starting that nonprofit that he's moving you to start. I don't know what it is. For some of you, it's embracing the culture that you have and celebrating it and making your voice heard and known and valued and believing it in your soul that God made you the way he did because he loves you. So that's Black History Month, February, repentance, baptisms, and I don't really have a better close than that, so I'm going to pray. Normally, we speak for like a half an hour, and today it's a little shorter. I'm not used to that, and I want to speak for more. But we'll pray instead. Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you for your grace. I thank you, Lord, that you are you're gracious to us. Lord, you allow us to constantly learn. You make reconciliation possible, not only with you, but also in human relationships, Lord. Our reconciliation is possible because you gave us life. Lord, you are the ultimate mediator. Every person in this world has the potential to be united in the deepest possible way because of you. Would you do that work? Would you do that work, Lord? I know that's a huge request. But would you do it? Pray even that this 40 days of prayer would be a time where the countries move forward, where this is engaged, where people are loving you and loving the world in new and profound ways. And thank you for the souls that have placed their faith in you, Lord, who are going to declare that publicly to this community. Pray that you would be with them richly and just help us to celebrate well this day. In your name, amen.